Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. The 2025 United States Grand Prix is fast approaching and the stakes couldn't be higher. It is a sprint weekend, which means twice the action, twice the drama, and crucial championship points up for grabs before Sunday's showdown. Set at the iconic Circuit of the Americas in Austin, this race has become a fan favorite for its daring overtakes, unpredictable strategy calls, and electric atmosphere. This year, it's not just about bragging rights, it's about the driver's championship. With every lap carrying weight in the title fight, the pressure is on for the contenders to deliver when it matters most. In this episode, we're diving into our bold predictions for who will master COTA, who's primed to snatch sprint glory, who can handle the Texas heat and championship tension. We'll see what surprise picks and curveballs as we set the stage for what should be an exciting weekend of the Formula One season. Sprint.
Pole. Yes. Who do you have?
I have my... what I would like to see happen and what realistically will happen. And I'm very torn between my two wish lists. But Hamilton has done well on this track. Mac does well. And I think Oscar is going to be out for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think realistically, I'm going to put Max on sprint pole.
Well, you took my choice because I feel he's on a tear. And this track suits him much better than Singapore, and he did quite well in Singapore. So for my poll, since you said that Oscar does well, why not? I'm putting Oscar on poll.
Now that's who, if it wasn't Lewis, I would hope Oscar, just don't tell Patrick, sprint winner. I'm so torn between Max and Oscar, but I would say if Max gets pole, Max will convert. So I'll keep him on both.
Well, you leave me no choice. So Oscar is converting and he's winning. And just so we're clear, so if we all turn our minds back to the Spa sprint weekend, which was the last sprint weekend. And by the way, I did have to look it up because it was so long ago, I forgot which race had the last sprint. But in that one, Oscar took pole. And Max won. So chances are something is going to be scrambled between our predictions.
I would say that's probably correct. It has been forever since there's a sprint, and there's so many on the back end of the season. We have three to go.
Right. But first three are kind of towards the first half. The other ones, and like there's nothing in the middle. Like it has to be a little bit more spread out for you in the future.
Yes, I think so. So then for the main race, I'm all sorts of torn on this one. Again, what I would like to see happen compared to my reality, and I do have two lists going for both, but on the realistic side of things, I am going to put Oscar on pole for the race.
Well, that's who I was going to put, but he's my sprint pole sitter. So, okay, I guess I'm putting Mac because I honestly think...
it's going to be one of the two.
Well, exactly, because Red Bull keeps developing their car. They even said that they're doing it at expense of 2026.
Oh, wow.
Because they want to give Max more of a chance. So it actually would be kind of silly if the only car that getting upgrades is not making stride. So I'm not expecting anything from Yuki, but I think it's very possible that Max puts it on pole. However, I hope my your predictions come through for a sprint and mine don't come through for the real race, because I feel like if he has to win, I'd rather he goes for the sprint and leaves this race to
everybody else.
Yeah, for people I actually kind of like to see win.
I'm with you. That's why I have two running lists of who's going to be where. But Max has always done really well on the circuit. And P3 should come as no surprise because he will be here for the remainder of the season because he does well on this track also. Lewis Hamilton is my P3 for Austin.
Listen, I cannot argue with this except to say the hopium has left my body
Oh, that's so
completely.
sad,
I
Ina.
know, I told you,
Because LeClaire does well here.
I don't care. I know he won last year, and that was the most amazing win that nobody expected. He came from fourth, if only. But I think he will not even be in top four. I'm just being realistic. Come on.
This is
Yeah.
my only what I'd like to see happen versus reality, because I'm just going to hold steady with this through the end of the year, because it will be devastating to me if Lewis Hamilton in his rookie year at Ferrari does not end up on a podium.
See, I was gonna give you Brazil, but then Ferrari is horrible in the rain. So I don't even
Yes.
have trust in that.
Lewis is good in the rain, the car is not. So.
But he does deserve redemption because when we get to Brazil, what happened to him last year in Brazil, which was atrocious. But anyway,
Yes.
back to this race.
Back to Austin, because it's going to be
Yes.
hot and dry.
So that's why I don't like, I'm shocked that. Mercedes did so well last weekend, which was not as hot as people predicted, but it was still very humid. So I didn't think it would suit Mercedes' car, but
I'm
apparently it
pretty
did.
sure George was just as shocked as we are.
Yeah, so I'm not going to predict in P3. You know what? Why not? Isaac Hadjar is making
Not
his second
Isaac,
podium.
Isaac
He said he
Hadjar.
doesn't care, however you
Oh,
say
no.
it.
He was on a podcast and I sent it to you and it said, which way would you really prefer? And he said, either way, but
That's okay. It
Isaac.
wasn't our podcast, so he's going to be Isaac front of me. So that's who is getting on. If he wants
Okay.
P3, he has to
He's going to
make
be
peace.
Isaac Hadjar
Yes.
for P3. Got it.
P3.
Okay.
And then for P2, I'm putting Max.
Okay. This is where I need to shuffle my
Order.
reality, since Lewis does kind of mess things up for me on
A
who
little bit.
realistically will probably be on the podium. However, I will put Oscar at two, since you put Max at two, and we'll put Max one.
Awesome, because then I guess I get Oscar P1 again.
You do.
It's
I
hilarious
figured it's
because
got to be the two of them this go around.
Well, it's funny because we both have our pole sitters finish second, which
We
is
do.
not the way it usually happens.
No.
But I also want to say for this race in particular, yes, I think Red Bull is going to be strong and, give Max a fighting chance. He'll always deliver. But I feel a lot of people say Oscar is entering his villain arc. And I say he is going to embrace his inner bastard. He's
Oh,
always
I
had
think
him,
so.
but I think it's time to really embrace it. So I feel there's going to be fireworks at McLaren, and he's either going to ram into his teammate or he's going to win. Like, I don't see literally any other scenario. So I
No.
chose to go with he's on a tear. And apparently, according to my prediction, he's taking pole everywhere and he's winning both the race and the sprint. Awesome. I'm all for it.
I
Bring it
would love for
on.
him to get all of those points.
Exactly.
Let him take them. So, Ferrari, since this is your first race in a while without a shot of hopium or a
Hopium.
dash of a Ferrari driver
Nope.
getting a champagne shower, where do you have our boys?
I mean, realistically, six and seven where they live, but I mean, I do have fond memories from last year's race. So for the vibes, I'm gonna give Leclerc fifth, but I'm not optimistic about it. And I'm giving Lewis six.
Okay. Clearly, I have Hamilton on the podium at three, and I will keep LeClaire in P4, where he has been living in my prediction land.
I wish it would have translated to actual standings, but I'll take it.
It would be great. How about a best of the rest?
Well, I think I already started one with
Well,
my
you did. You've
pick
got Hadjar on the podium,
on the
so.
podium.
Let's
All
keep
right.
it rolling.
Well, let's keep it rolling. Well, this is going to be interesting, but I'm going to put Behrman in top 10 again.
Ooh.
I know. And I know you have Hamilton on podium. I have this that I keep dipping in and out. Kimi Antonelli outperforms George Russell.
Okay.
It's happening this race. That's all. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling
Okay. At some point, some of these things we have manifest, they will be
it.
manifested into truth and reality
Exactly. What about you?
someday. I hope Williams has a
Two cars in the
comeback
points.
tour. Yes, I hope. I really hope Williams has a comeback tour. I am also hoping I'm going to give Yuki. We don't talk about Yuki ever because he hasn't given us much to talk about. But I'm going to say between Red Bull and VCARB, all four cars are in the top 10.
Wow. And you say that Liam Lawson does not wheel. That
He
is the void.
doesn't. It's
But
more
that
of a
is
whole
a, that,
team concept.
I don't know. That's a, he may enter the wooing stage if he makes another top 10.
To be determined, I doubt it. There's just something I don't know. I try. But I will keep them in the top 10 at
That
least
top
one.
10 gets really crowded.
My top, I was going to say, I was just doing all the math. I'm like, have I filled out my top 10? Because
Pretty much.
somewhere Russell, Lando, and Carlos Sainz have to be in there.
Well, I thought you wanted both Williams in top 10. No, we're not doing
Oh, the
that.
reality is probably not, but I'd love for it. Then I will bump Liam out to make room for both Williams,
Okay.
George Russell, and a Lando Norris.
And Kimi is not even in top 10, huh?
I'll give him Ollie Bearman's spot at 11.
He's gonna love that as long as Ollie's not in
As long as
it.
Ollie's not there. I don't know. I'm hoping it's an exciting race. I'm excited that there's a sprint just because we haven't had one in so long. I almost threw out Hamilton's sprint, pole, sprint win, repeat China. I just didn't have that much hopium left in the tank.
Well, I have to say, I think it's more likely that he's going to end up on the podium in the sprint than in on during the race because he's already been on two podiums this year in sprints.
True.
So, I mean, granted, Miami was insane and he got there by attrition, but hey, a podium is a podium.
Podium is podium. Let's spill the grid because there is so much to talk about. We had 1 week off and they made up for it. I think we have more to talk about now than silly season.
Yes, actually, a lot of what we talk about is probably going to be affecting the next year's silly season.
Yes. So from 2026, six drivers will be eliminated in Q1 and Q2 in the qualifying sessions, with 10 drivers competing in Q3, as currently the case.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I wasn't sure if we're just going to lose seven drivers in Q1 and then proceed with five and 10 as they currently are. But this gives some, maybe some drivers more of a chance in Q2 to get into Q3. So I'm not opposed to that.
No, I think it's a good way to solve that for having the extra team and two more drivers. Supposedly, this will be announced this weekend, but Apple is set to secure the US F1 rights in a deal worth around $140 million a year. I guess there is still some kinks to be worked out around because F1 has their streaming channel and how this will work and what those rights look like and stuff like that.
I have a feeling it's probably going to be Sky coverage again, because that's the easiest thing to do.
Speaking of Sky coverage, did you see that they defended their camera work?
I
That was
mean,
horrendous.
it was bad. What
They
can I
should just
say?
say, yes, we can do better.
But I don't know if it's their camera work or they're using the F1 feed, because I always thought they used the F1 feed.
Either way, it's awful. And maybe that's why they said what they said, because they can't criticize the feed.
That's what I'm thinking. I think I mentioned it during our race review that the commentary was bad. But I think it might have been because the coverage was poor. So you can only comment in the moment on what you see. And what you saw was a delay that was
Right.
insane. So you just assumed this was still going on track and just got everyone else confused.
I did appreciate that Carlos Sides did agree with you and was very outspoken about how horrible the coverage was about missing his overtakes, showing too many of the girlfriends, and he completely agreed with you. So,
Although it is funny that one of the girlfriends was his
was
girlfriend.
his. I know. They just always look so awkward. It's the whole I have a camera on me, but I can't look at the camera and I have to pretend.
And
It's
just
horrible.
I don't mind that they're showing the girlfriend. First of all, it's not just the girlfriends, just whoever's in the garage.
No.
I don't mind them showing it. But if there's something happening on track that's interesting, like I'd rather you show me what's happening on track.
I
And at
agree.
another time, show me the
Right.
what's happening in the garage.
Exactly. Speaking of the garages, McLaren is suing Alex Palou and he is fighting back, including allegations that Zak Brown never wanted to hire Oscar Piastri from the start. Maybe that's where some of the truth and favoritism towards Lando is, but this whole lawsuit is a mess.
It is, and in terms of that comment in particularly, Zak Brown completely disavowed any ability to hire and fire drivers and blamed it all on Andreas Seidl, who was the team principal of McLaren at the time. By the way, does it mean that every team principal with name Andrea just loves Oscar Piastri? Because we've been hearing that Andrea Stella, their current team principal, also favors Oscar. But it's just ridiculous because Zak Brown is the CEO. So I don't know in what world. I'm not saying he's the only decision maker, but he's definitely one of them. So
Well,
for him to completely disavow that that wasn't his choice, that's just ridiculous.
it is ridiculous because if you watch Drive to Survive, he is one that says, the buck stops with me. Did he forget that?
Oh, Aaron, once Christian Horner left the paddock, we now know who is the next hypocrite.
Yes,
I mean, it's
Zak
between
Brown
him
had
and Flavio
no problem
Briatore.
filling those shoes.
Yeah, he's definitely a big hypocrite. But this lawsuit is interesting because Alex Palou basically reneged on his IndyCar contract with McLaren. And one of the issues that he had with McLaren is because Zak Brown kept promising him ability to get an F1 seat, and he realized it was never going to happen. And so I just feel it's ridiculous that what are we fighting over? Like, seriously,
Well, there's
and
not much to fight over because the WhatsApp texts were deleted.
of course we don't, like, accidentally, not
But
on
that's just
purpose.
company policy. They time out
Of course
or
they do.
whatever Zak Brown said.
I mean, it's super messy. I don't like the fact that Alex Palou just thought, oh, I signed a contract, means nothing. I don't have to fulfill it. Like, that, I don't think
No, that's bad
should be how
sportsmanship.
you treat
No,
contracts.
I agree.
However, I mean, I know we keep bringing him up, but he made sense. Christian Horner said, if somebody doesn't want to be there, you can always negotiate an out. So they should have had a very professional discussion and settled on a out, as opposed to whatever is this mess and how long this is going to take a focus away from McLaren.
Agreed. Speaking of McLaren, Alex Dunn cut ties with McLaren before the Singapore weekend, which was 2 weeks ago, with Red Bull showing interest and is now presumed that he would be in either F2 for Red Bull in 2026 with the potential F1 Racing Bull seat for 2027.
Or he would literally be in the Racing Bull seat in 2026. Because, so what I've heard is different commentary on what that meant. And everyone kept saying that it doesn't make sense for him to cut the ties so abruptly before F2 season even ends. And that it only means he has somewhere to go. But it's interesting, it hasn't been announced that where he's going to be racing in F2 next season. Which could mean that he's still in the running for Racing Bulls,
That could be very interesting.
which could be fascinating. And also, this is, I think, the second straight year where a McLaren Junior cut ties with McLaren to get a better seat. Bertolotto was a McLaren Junior, and he's
Oh, I
now in
forgot that.
Sauber. Yep,
Right. I
and
forgot
done.
about Bortoleto.
But this is what I said before, that next year, this silly season is going to be the silliest because we have Leclerc looking for somewhere new in 27, Max thinking of leaving, and of course, it's like dominoes. They all start
Correct. Yep.
switching. Whoever doesn't win the championship this year for McLaren may want to think about leaving. And now we have Racing Bulls, which is always a revolving door, becoming more and more clear that its route keeps revolving. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It will be. One thing that is not going to be interesting is the FIA presidency. There is going to be no one opposing Mohammed Ben Sulayem. He is going to be running unopposed due to all bids having to include a vice president from every major region. The only eligible candidate from South America is Fabiana Ecclestone, wife of Bernie Ecclestone. And she is already on MBS's ticket, so no rival can form a valid team.
Isn't that awesome how dictatorship works?
Ugh.
I
Oh,
don't
boo.
know if it's dictatorship or monopoly or both. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. We need somebody new.
Right. So, yeah, kind of sad.
Very sad.
In other news that may impact silly season next year or the year after is Kalle Rovanperä, who is a Finn. And by the way, there's been always a saying in F1, if you want to win, you gotta get a Finn, which is one of the reason why I think Bottas still has a seat. So anyway, Kalle Rovanperä, he is the youngest World Rally Champion. He announced his retirement from the World Rally Championship at the end of 2025 so that he can race next year in Super Formula, which is a feeder series for F2, which means that he might then race in F2 in 2027 with the possibility of getting into F1 in 2028. So that's so interesting because we have so many people from other series. Because remember, Colton Herta is also coming to F2 from IndyCar. F2 is becoming a more interesting series now because you have all these different championships from different series converging in F2 to get prepared to be in F1. And Kalle Rovanperä, again, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, he's actually considered like the Max Verstappen of World
Ooh,
Rally Championships because
cool.
he didn't do karting and he started doing rally quite late and he was
Oh.
immediately extremely good. And he only cares about racing. If and when he gets to F1, if Max is still there to see
Those two.
that, yeah, so that dynamic could be fabulous.
I'll be curious if Max is still there, but I love the idea of having another Finn. And how cool would it be if Bottas becomes his manager or something really exciting?
I'm not sure Bottas would be interested in it, but it would be interesting. I think he would be a good manager because he's so calm.
He is. I
So
think
I
he'd be
think,
excellent.
yeah. No, I think he has a lot to offer for sure. After qualifying in Singapore, Fred Vasseur was seen having a very tense discussions with a top engineer who is rumored to be Matteo Tognali, who is the head of track engineering at Ferrari. There are some people at Maranello that seem to hold a grudge against Leclerc for his criticism of the car. And I just am so livid reading this. Your job as an engineer, not to fix the freaking car. It's to criticize any criticism that's thrown your way from the driver who drives that piece of crap and actually makes it probably look better than it is. I just think this is another reason why Leclerc may be looking going elsewhere. Because if the engineers, like that's what they're focused on how you criticize the car, then, and what has he said? That it's not working. Duh,
It's
we can
not
see
working.
it. Yeah, like he didn't
That
single
shouldn't be
anyone,
news to the engineers.
and he wasn't singling anyone out.
No, he was just stating a fact.
But do you want him to lie and say this is the best car ever? I just can't make anything out of it. I mean, first of all, that's just
Not
impossible to
true.
believe.
It's
And
not true.
also, like, that's ridiculous. They always blame the car. Like, listen, even Alonso, with his snarkiness, has criticized the crap that is Aston Martin. And even he suggested that Adrian Newey may not be able to do much to fix it that much, to make it that much better. I mean, he'll do a better job, but not that much. So actually, that I'm looking forward to. Alonso trying not to criticize Newey's car, or since he said next year was going to be his last, unleashed in criticizing the Newey car however he wants.
Well, that will be curious to see. But back to Fred, we did have news earlier where Ferrari signed a contract extension. However, with Christian Horner on the market, there's talks about Christian replacing him as team principal now that he's free and clear of Red Bull and has settled. What do you think?
I wouldn't believe that that's not true. And we've talked about it in terms of Christian Haas,
Yeah.
Christian at Aston Martin, that unless he gets an ownership share, I
He's
don't
not
see
going.
him. Yeah, what? There's no upside for him. He can only tear down his legacy even further. However, if nobody wants him and he wants to be on the grid, Ferrari is definitely an attractive option. I don't see why Ferrari would want him.
I don't either. I mean, even he said when these rumors, when he was still at Red Bull and these rumors were going around that Ferrari was pursuing him, he goes, he speaks no Italian.
Well, neither does Fred, but which is, if you remember again from Drive to
Are you
Survive,
sure?
yes, in Drive to Survive, they had a whole episode when they introduced Fred, when they specifically showed Italians being very concerned because he did not speak Italian. I mean, I'm not saying he
Has he
doesn't
learned
have,
it?
he might, but it's never going to be, at a high level. But at the time that he became team principal, he didn't speak it.
Okay. Well, we'll see if Christian Horner's been trying Duolingo or Rosetta Stone.
But the thing is, Christian is not an engineer. Fred is an engineer, so he can talk math. Whereas, what does Christian have? He's not an engineer, and he's always been the one who pokes fun at team principals who engineers and only look at data, which is a problem in Ferrari, don't get me wrong. But I just think it's not the right fit personality-wise. I think like Lewis Hamilton will probably quit on the spot, and I don't see Leclerc thriving. So,
No.
nope. And I don't think that will fix the car. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think Horner's going to fix the car. And God forbid if we actually see the swap between Leclerc and Piastri. I don't know who would be excited to have Horner as a team principal.
Well, why doesn't he go to Alpine? Because I bet you they would give
That's
him
what we said.
shares.
I think Alpine would be a better fit for him.
And he loves Flavio.
Pierre Gasly might quit.
Well, I think, yeah, this would be like the worst nightmare for him.
Yes, Pierre Gasly would not be thrilled. He would probably have some PTSD that he'd need to work through, but I don't know. I'm excited for this weekend. I think it's going to be good.
I hope so. As I said, last year I had very little hope, and I was so pleasantly surprised. It was one of my favorite races.
Well, of course, because your driver won.
But do you remember how he won?
I do. It was a good race.
It was a good race because Max went after Lando
I
and
know.
Leclerc went by his teammate and the two fighting cars and got into first.
Yep.
Unfortunately, this year, even if he does that, I mean, magically qualifies fourth, which will be a miracle, does the same thing, he will not stay first. It's just
No,
because the
the
car
car has
sucks.
no pace.
And they're asking him to lift. Did you see the difference between his pace and Behrman's pace in Singapore?
I did.
That was insane.
Yes.
And that's because he was lifting and coasting, not because he was slow.
I know.
But I
It
just,
was awful.
like, there's just no. So I'm still impressed with you insisting that Hamilton will get a podium, and I hope this for you. I just don't
It
see
needs to happen, Ina. He cannot go his
it.
rookie year with no outside of a sprint podium. It just can't happen. I cannot wrap my brain around that.
I mean, again, I really hope this for you. I just don't see it.
I mean, he did set The track record, as we mentioned, at Singapore, he set the fastest lap time ever
Do you
recorded.
remember how he ended the race?
And I was going to say, he also, in the same race, set the slowest lap time thanks to his brake failure
And
because
then
he
he
could
continued
not.
going, yeah,
Yes.
continued going
So
without breaks. So that's
what
a
a mess.
positive.
But let's
Yeah.
hope there's some excitement and some of our predictions come true this weekend.
Absolutely.
And don't forget, if you are in Texas, you might see Daniel Ricciardo at his Enchanté pop-up. So if I were you, that's where I would be.
And you have to tell us if he arrives on a horse, because that image
Again, that would
is
be the
still
greatest
the
thing
most
ever.
amazing thing ever. Yes.
One can hope.
That's a wrap on our predictions for the 2025 United States Grand Prix, a sprint weekend that's sure to test nerves, shake up the standings, and maybe even increase the stakes for the Drivers' Championship. Whether it's a title charge, a redemption arc, or a surprise podium, Austin always delivers the drama. Now it's your turn. Who do you think will come out on top at COTA? Drop your predictions, hot takes, and wild cards in the comments or on our socials at Reading the Grid. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share the podcast so you don't miss our post-race breakdown. Because if there's one thing we've learned about the US Grand Prix, it's that anything can happen in Texas.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.